Hello, it's Monday, April 25th. You are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris. This will be show number 2. We do have an email address set up. It's videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. You can check us out on the website, www.dreamstation.cc. Let's introduce the guys that we have with us today. We have Bob.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
We have Ivan.
Hello.
And we have Keith.
Hey, what's up, man?
Guys, thanks for being here tonight. Let me run through the news that we're going to go over today real quick. We're going to talk about Namco and its newly acquired licenses. We're going to talk a little bit about the Nintendo and if it will or will not be at E3, as well as the new color of the DS. We're going to go into a little bit about how certain governments are pressuring Sony to remove all references to them from some of their games. We're going to get into an MMORPG discussion about how Sony has opened up a site for selling in-game goods for EverQuest. We're going to go into a little bit more of the details of the Xbox 360. We have a game review today, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory for the Xbox. And we're going to talk a little bit about the PSP in general. So jumping into our first item of news, we have Namco, creator of Tekken, Soul Calibur, Ridge Racer. They acquired rights to do Peanuts and Hello Kitty video games.
If anybody had seen what they are, they like going for the audience of 4 to 6 year olds or what? I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I would assume that they would be all ages titles, but it's just, I don't get why you make Tekken, you make Soul Calibur, you make a lot of good games, and then you go out and you get Hello Kitty, or the Peanuts. I mean, what would you even do in the Peanuts?
Don't know. Snoopy kart racing.
Charlie Brown goes to kick the football, and what's her name pulls it out from behind him?
That wouldn't be a very fun game.
I wouldn't think so. Kick the football.
Right at this moment, oh, too bad you missed.
I'm not a big fan of the Peanuts stuff, not since, you know, we were like 8. Does anyone know if Hello Kitty does? I know Hello Kitty has, you know, underwear and socks and notepads and accessories. Is it a cartoon? Does anyone even have an idea?
No. Only thing I've ever seen Hello Kitty on is backpacks of little Japanese girls walking around campus. Other than that,
right.
I have no interaction with Hello Kitty.
It's kind of hard to make a good game about the Peanuts and or Hello Kitty.
Come on, it's Hello Kitty.
All right, our next item of news here is that the Nintendo announced a new color for the DS. So instead of actually making, you know, securing new licenses, making the DS something that can compete with the PSP, they're making new colors.
If you care what your video game device looks like, that, oh, electric blue now, I better throw out my old one and get the new one because it's prettier.
It's sexier.
Exactly.
In a related note, I did get my mannequin hand. Nintendo has a campaign where you go to the Nintendo website, you can sign up to get a mannequin hand sent to your house. So I figured out what the heck, and I did it. Yeah. So you take it, and then you submit whatever video or pictures you've taken to the Nintendo website, and then they're going to judge it. The winner gets some prizes. They get a DS and a bunch of games or whatever.
If you give someone a prop and say, take a picture with this.
What could they possibly do with a female mannequin hand? Mannequin hand.
All right, going with our Nintendo news, apparently the Nintendo Revolution will be shown at E3. There was some speculation that it wouldn't. It was just going to be the new Xbox and the new PlayStation, but I guess Nintendo is actually doing something.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. It's Nintendo.
They'll wind up like Sega. They still produce awesome games. I mean, the last 5 Nintendo games, first-party games I've played, have been really good.
Apparently, they're also working on a new version of the Game Boy, which I don't get because I guess the DS was supposed to be the next Game Boy. At least that's the way they publicized it. I mean, it's a gaming device. It's not made for anything else.
It's backwards compatible with Game Boy games, so it is the new Game Boy. The system is not a bad system. I've played a bunch of games on it, and they're good games. The problem is that it's been 6 months since the DS came out, and the PSP already has as many games as the DS does.
And there's more good games for the PSP. I mean, I own
right.
4 or 5 PSP games, and how many do you have for the DS that are even worthy of buying?
I own 2 DS games, and that's only because the other games that are out are crap.
Basically, we're overconfident in their handheld market.
I think the problem is that Nintendo only releases a few first-party games a year. They rely on all the other companies to pad their software library. I think the problem is that the DS came out, everybody made, you know, a game or two for the DS, and then they started focusing on the PSP launch. You know, now everybody's focusing on the PSP because it seems so popular. And now Nintendo's left with no third-party people making games and struggling because they don't, you know, they hadn't anticipated, well, geez, we need to make more first-party games. if they really wanted to push this DS, they should have stopped producing and supporting the Game Boy Advance, because they're still trying to make Game Boy Advance games.
You're kind of competing with yourself, really.
Right. It's like the Xbox and the GameCube. Anyone 18 years or older isn't going to buy a GameCube. They're going to buy an Xbox. They're focusing more on aesthetics than on gaming. It's not a bad strategy. Unfortunately, they had horrible timing. If they're going to start releasing colors, they should have done it a few months before the PSP came out, because now they just look silly. Released new colors 2 months ago, and then right when the PSP was about due to launch, they should have just flooded the market with games. They should have scheduled 5 to 10 new DS games or more to come out at the same time, so that people would remember, hey, the DS is still here, and now there's all these great games. Instead, what they did was, as soon as the DS launched, they said, hey, we have new colors.
Release your Pokemon title. Plan for this stuff.
Yeah, it's not like it was a secret.
I mean, let's face it, before the PSP came out, there was no other handheld. Game Boy, that was it.
And as much as I bashed Nintendo, it's the system all of us grew up on. You got Mario, Metroid, Zelda. These are good games, and even the GameCube. I own it. It's got some good games for it, but it's just not in the same ballpark. You're going to get it one system and only one system. It sure as hell ain't going to be a GameCube. Bangladesh was portrayed in the new SOCOM 3 game by Sony as a terrorist nation. They're kind of the bad guy that the SOCOM team is coming in and trying to take care of the problem. Well, Bangladesh got pissed at Sony for allowing them to be portrayed as a terrorist nation when, of course they're not. And Sony bent under the pressure, and they're going to remove all references to Bangladesh specifically from the game.
They're not saying the entire country is filled with terrorists. They're just saying these are people from this country, and they happen to be terrorists.
The same thing as City of Heroes getting rid of the whole fifth column because they didn't want Nazi references in there.
Yeah, even though they swear up and down, that's not why we did it, but you know that's why they did it.
In today's day and age, everything is so politically correct that no one can slip up at all, or there's threats of lawsuits, and people are afraid that everyone will feel sorry for the, you know, oppressed and misinterpreted person, that they'll side with them. People just panic that they're going to get sued, and rightfully so, because everybody's so overly sensitive now.
And we'll get to it a little bit later, but in Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory, the whole thing of that is that there's this tension between China and Korea, and it's the same thing. I couldn't see Osama bin Laden calling us up and saying, you know, I'm ticked that you guys are showing Al-Qaeda as terrorists. Please remove us from the game.
I don't think it would be a government leader. I think it would end up being a class action suit against them. Probably not even by anyone involved with them. Just a class action suit of, this is for all the Bangladeshians that you've offended.
A Bangladesh guy who lives in America, or, you know, like a Muslim that lives here, and he's getting upset with the way that the media portrays Al-Qaeda. Sony had decided that they were going to embrace this whole kind of underground movement of selling of in-game goods, money, characters, etc. A lot of places, Blizzard included, are blocking any kind of transaction on eBay of selling the virtual goods, because their thing is that Blizzard or Sony or whoever has made this game, they made the items, they're not yours. The character and everything else is all stored on their server. They they don't want you to make money off of this. So you can see all these Korean websites that are doing gold farming. You can pay $20 and you get 2 gold pieces in World of Warcraft. They're going through Amazon, eBay, Yahoo. They're closing all those auctions down. They can't.
It's going to take the case system that already exists and bring it in-game. So, hey, you know what, kids? If you're poor in real life, you're going to feel poor and neglected in the game, too. So, enjoy.
Just opens a can of worms, because Sony has not announced how they're going to do this as far as what percentage that they're going to take for transaction, but it's going to be like PayPal. You can use my officially sponsored auction site to sell your Sword of Boar Slaying, and then I'm going to take 10% off the top.
It's projected that overall market for trading and selling of virtual goods could be as high as $800 million annually, with EverQuest and EverQuest 2 accounting for about 20% of those sales. So even in the market, there's still, you know, a major force there.
Right, and you take even 10%.
It's still $160 million in sales for EverQuest that Sony's trying. Basically, Sony's saying, hey, we want to tap into that $160 million a year business. While I think it completely breaks the game, people are doing it anyway, and Sony's trying to just get their fair share.
I'd say Sony go for it. The whole idea of paying real money for virtual items is absolutely ludicrous to me anyway. I don't think the day that I purchase a virtual item, such as a item for a video game with real money, is the day that I want somebody to come to my house and beat the life out of me. The whole idea is ludicrous to begin with.
I'll take you up on that, man.
The whole idea
is ludicrous.
When I see
that, I'm not even going to say nothing.
Spending $50 on a unique item in EverQuest or Diablo 2 or something like that, and giving somebody money to give you something that is just intangible.
Like I said, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Okay. So somebody to set the sort of boar slang flag on your character. So here, let me set this to 1 instead of 0. There you go. Thank you for your $50.
What difference does it make if Sony hosts the site or if eBay does?
It's going to happen either way you do it. That's one of my biggest complaints with the MMOs, because it completely breaks the economy, because it no longer is a matter of, well, how much money do I need? Because if it takes you normally, say, an hour to get 100 gold for something, and you need to want to save up and buy that item that's 1,000 gold, well, some guy just goes online, spends $20, and gets his 1,000 gold. Now everyone is selling their stuff higher because people will pay more. It basically dilutes the whole market, because if I'm paying money for it, well, I'll just pay $10 and I'll get 10,000 gold while you have to work, while a normal person would have to spend 100 hours to get that same amount of gold.
It just all comes back to whether or not the game is fun. If it's not fun to get the epic item and it's convenient to go buy it and that makes the game fun, then I don't really think that's a game that's really worth playing. Half the fun was going on these epic quests, spending the time it takes to get your guy up, getting the party together, everything else. And if that's too much of a pain in the ass, it's more fun to just go spend the $10, then that's really not a great game.
We play the game because we want to have fun playing the game. Some people just want to be powerful. They don't want to take the time to build their guy up. They just want to be able to say, here I go, I'm now ready to go slaughter half the people that play this game.
Instant gratification.
Valid too.
I do remember in Warcraft, when you would see the blue item, everyone would get all excited. That was the fun of it, finding a new random item.
I think the whole point of this topic is it's going to happen. Whether or not people do it on eBay or Amazon or whatever, people are going to ruin the game by selling virtual items for real money. My opinion is, I don't applaud Sony for doing it, but I think Sony is smart enough to realize it's going to happen. Why don't we just cash in on profit?
I'm just concerned that it's going to become impossible to not play them without paying all this extra money for the added features and getting your weapons and everything else. You can play the game, but you're better off just going ahead and buying this, or, you know, just spend the $20, get it out of the way. It's like, no, that's not going to happen, especially with all the money I've already shelled out to play this.
There's 6 items in the entire universe of this game. They are impossible to get, but you can get one for $100. It's like if they start putting
if they start catering the game, expecting you to do stuff like that. So if you do try to even, if you have the audacity to try to play without doing that, then you're just going to have this miserable experience and you shouldn't even have bought the game in the first place. And I hope that comes back to bite them in the ass, personally.
And that's my worry. I mean, everyone starts with gray armor. To get the red armor, it's going to cost you $295. To get the blue armor, it's going to be $275. Let them do it. More power to you.
Okay.
I've actually, in the past, bought and sell Diablo items because I couldn't trade them in the game, so my whole reasoning was
we've
just...
We've sold items in the past, but I've never actually bought one.
I've bought one. I took the money I used to sell one, and I put it aside to buy one, and I just considered it trading, so I guess maybe I'm in the minority with us.
Fair enough.
The next topic of discussion will be that the Xbox 360, there's all kinds of stuff in the news. We had talked last week a little bit about the whole... I think they call it viral advertising, where it's making advertising a game and trying to generate hype by getting you to, you know, go to ourcolony.net and do a bunch of work to get a little snippet of information that they could have easily just done in a press release. The whole thing now is that they've quote-unquote leaked pictures of the Xbox memory cards, et cetera, all for the next-gen Xbox, and it's been leaked through the ourcolony.net and on some of the, you know, websites out there. My personal feeling is it can't possibly be leaked. It's hype. It's part of the advertising. You don't accidentally release a screenshot of the front of the Xbox 360. It's generated internally. It's done on purpose. Madden has a next-gen video game coming out for football that they're going to have for Xbox 360 as well as the PlayStation 3, and during the NFL draft, they have have a 60-second clip. They didn't say in the ad that it was actually in-game play screens. It probably was just cinema. Now, it couldn't have possibly been in-game shots. You can't make that leap where it's you can see the whiskers of hair on the guy's mustache and goatee, whereas in the Xbox, you just seen, you know, a polygonal regular face. That has to be a cinematic.
It's possible that that was an in-game shot if you're playing on an HD TV, which obviously has much better resolution. You're right. It was probably more just, here's our next-gen game, here's some footage of it. And it probably was more of a cut scene than an actual game footage. It's possible that the Xbox 360, it's not unlike Microsoft to be technologically advanced and say, if you happen to have an HD TV, then the in-game footage will be much more realistic than if you don't.
What I've heard about the Xbox 360 is it kind of concerns me a little bit, is that mandatory 720p resolution for all game developers, which in English means it has to run in HD. It has to run in high definition on a TV. Now, I don't even have a I have a 57-inch Sony. My TV does not support 720p. I would assume that you could play it normally. You just have, like, the black bars across the top and the bottom, and the quality wouldn't be as good. We're not even on Madden 2006 yet. That comes out later in the year, September, August. Madden Next Gen is a year and 3 months away.
You can't blame them for showing cutscene images. I mean, think about any game. If you think about the commercials for Gods of War, granted, they do show some of the gameplay, but most of what they show are the cinematic scenes.
We're going to try and do, I'd like to do one review per week on the show. You can get most of the game reviews, most of your gaming news. All this stuff's going to be full articles, a lot more news. We don't have time to get into everything that we'd like to get in time for. Check out the website. DreamStation.cc has all the news, has all the articles, has all the reviews. But I would like to do one a week here. This week we're going to talk a little bit about Splinter Cell Chaos Theory for the Xbox. So this is Splinter Cell Part 3, really. I played the first one a little bit, played the second one quite a bit, and then the third one I bought the day it came out. The graphics are some of the best graphics I've ever seen on the Xbox. The way the game works is you're supposed to be Sam Fisher. You're kind of like a spy. So you're trying to sneak around, so sounds and light play a huge part in if you're going to be detected or not. So you actually have a meter down in the corner that shows you how loud you're being and how much light is shining on you, so it can kind of help you through the game so you can hide in the shadows, jump up behind a guy, you know, break his neck, carry him off into the weeds. Looking at this game and looking at even, you know, Raven Shield for the PC, it's night and day. These are some of the best graphics I've seen in general, PC or otherwise. And it's got the dynamic lighting. It's got the sound so that if something is on Sam Fisher's right side in the game, it's going to come through. If you have stereo surround sound speakers, it's going to come out in the direction that it should, and it's going to be louder or quieter depending on how far away it is. So totally immersed in this game. This game had me hooked. Took it home, and I was going to pop it in for an hour, and I stayed up till like 4:30 in the morning. The single-player mode is pretty good. The multiplayer mode, they started this last year, where multiplayer mode is almost like a separate game. It's four people in a game, two teams of two. You have two spies and two terrorists, I guess you could call them. The terrorists have lethal weapons. You have machine guns and they have grenades. And the spies have non-lethal only. The only way a spy can kill a terrorist is if he sneaks up behind him and then snaps his neck. One of the really cool things they did is they used the Xbox headset. So if you are a spy and you sneak up behind somebody and you grab them and you're choking them, you can hold down one of the buttons and actually talk to the other guy. One of the coolest things I ever remember in online gaming was when I jumped into a game. I didn't really have a clue what I was doing, so I was on the terrorist side. I'm walking around, and all of a sudden I hear a guy whispering in my headset. He basically stuck up behind me, grabbed me in a headlock, and it just kind of freaked me out. Then he snapped my neck, and that was that. But I was just, all right, I'm hooked. This game's cool.
Yes, that's what I'd look for in a game, when people snap my neck. I'm dead. This game's great.
Two big changes is that they now have a two-player co-op split screen, which we did play a little bit. Actually, it's pretty fun. One of the kind of annoying things is that when you're kind of in the co-op mentality, you're not going to stop and save maybe as much. So what we were doing was we would go in there. Keith and I would be playing the game. Somebody would piss off a guard. The guard would unleash, kill everybody. And then instead of loading from the save point, we would have to load from the beginning of the level already, wasting, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes. And then the other big difference now is that Sam Fisher has a knife and you can kill. One of the things that I didn't finish the second game was because you weren't allowed to kill anybody. Every mission was, you know, Sam, we can't have anybody die on this. So you would, the crap would hit the fan, you'd pull out your gun and open fire. As soon as you kill somebody, the guy came on the radio, you know, what are you doing, what are you doing, and the mission would end. Well, on this, you can kill people. Certain particular missions say you're not allowed. It's a lot more fun to play when the, you know, the alarms go off, you can just grab a guy, slit his throat, and keep moving. It's pretty cool.
Never playing any of the other Splinter Cells, and never really even playing a game like that on the Xbox, the multiplayer part, I gotta say, was pretty slick. They had parts where you just can't go any further unless you have someone there to with you. The thing with the fan, one guy has a little rope and he lowers him down, and how fast you move or press buttons is how fast you lower or raise the guy, and because then a lot of times when we're like playing multiplayer on Raven Shield or something, everyone just ends up running off in their own random direction to shoot people. You can't really do that in that. It makes you work as a team and gives a reason for the whole co-op thing. Thought was kind of slick.
It ties it together good. You know, one guy, the wall will be too high, so guy A can jump up there and guy B can climb on the back of guy A, climb up to the top, and then, you know, lower a rope down or flick a switch, hit a switch, etc., and then the other guy can get through. It does. It really makes you work together as a team. I haven't played it online co-op yet, but we played it for a couple hours with Keith, you and I did, and it was actually pretty good.
We played for a while.
I would probably give it a 9.5 out of 10. One of the highest ratings I've ever given to a game, because it is, it's that good.
I would say like an 8.5, only because those games aren't my forte. It's a cool game.
One thing I should make a note of is that the multiplayer, when you're on the spy side and single player and co-op, it's all third-person camera, where you actually see your entire character or three-quarters of your character. When you're playing in a multiplayer and you're on the terrorist side, it's an FPS. It's a first-person shooter. You see the little, you know, the tip of your gun, maybe your hand, and the reticle to aim with. We had talked last week a little bit about FPS and the kind of the nobody was really a huge fan of the FPS on the consoles. I didn't mind it. The aiming was pretty good, and you're only playing as an FPS game half of the time. The other half, you're a spy, and you have all these cool gadgets and, you know, taser guns and stuff. Our major topic this week is the PSP in general. It's been out, about a month? Most of us either own it by now, or we've at least played with it a little bit. I know we kind of hit on this a little bit earlier. They're running contests on websites now on how to hack it. Inside Wipeout Pure, one of the games, they have a thing where you can use the web browser. You can point the DNS to a different website, and then you can get a portal to Google or whatever. Well, they found that inside the PSP, you can also run JavaScript. So they've had a website where you can go to through Wipeout on your PSP, and you can play Tetris through the web. Kind of cool. There's IRC chats, there's browsers, there's all kinds of stuff that people are hacking. Rumor has it that they're going to be putting in the next edition of the firmware update, they're going to put in a web browser, etc., etc. So everybody's played with it.
I still say it's too expensive. You know, I even have disposable income again, and I don't foresee myself buying one in the immediate future, only because I just can't justify spending that much money on something that can fit in my pocket. Too expensive.
I own it, and I think that $250 is a little bit too much for a handheld unit. When you add in the price of a memory card, you get a 32-megabyte memory card with it, which is more than enough to save games. If you're playing a game, you can put your saved games on it. But I also wanted it as a multimedia device. I wanted to play MP3s. I wanted to watch movies, etc. So I had to hunt around and get a gigabyte memory card, and I got a good deal, and I paid $150 with shipping. So I've dumped, $400 into it?
If you got the $400, $500 to drop on it, you're better off just, at least in my opinion, if you're talking for games, save up a little bit more and buy yourself a computer.
Can I just get a laptop? Same difference.
The iPod, I'm probably going to get one of those soon because I think they're sweet, but because it's just been too much money for what it does, in my opinion. And that's the way I feel about the PSP. It's just too much money for what it does.
I don't travel enough. I really have no use for a handheld game.
I went on a business trip, and I took my PSP with me, and it was great. Sat on the plane, threw some Invader Zim on there. They have third-party applications that you can download off the web. One of them is PSP Video 9. I don't remember the name of the other one. I use PSP Video 9. You can take DVD formats, which is VOB. You can take AVI files. It can accept all these different formats. You can set the compression ratio to see how quality versus size. You let it run overnight, it'll do 15, 20 movies. You throw them on your PSP, and you can watch them on the go. It's great for me because I have to go along for the shopping trip. So while my wife is out shopping, I'm watching Invader Zim in the store with the headset, you know, being antisocial, tuned out to the world around me.
Makes sense to me.
Now, some of the things I do not like about it, we've kind of talked about the cost, the battery life. I wish it was a little bit better. The battery I found, I haven't had it run out on me, but it lasts while you're playing a game off of the disc, you know, spinning parts, etc. It really lasts between 3 and 6 hours, supposedly. I've had it last around 3-4 hours on me, and this is a new battery. I'm sure once that battery, and it's 6 months from now, I'm concerned that the battery life is going to drop to 2 hours, an hour and a half, etc.
Wait, I thought that those were, what, those lithium whatever batteries? I thought they didn't lose.
They're not supposed to. This is just people from...
The graphics cards don't overheat, yeah.
I have a lithium ion battery in my MP3 player, and I know, Ivan, you have an iPod with the same deal. I've had my it's not an iPod, it's a Creative Zen jukebox. I've had it for about a year, year and a half, and it lasts just as long, you know, the same way it did when I bought it. PSP, I've already run the charge down 3 or 4 times because I'm sitting on the couch, you know, watching videos, getting podcasts off the net, throw them on there, watching while, you know, my wife's watching a soap opera or whatever, and I'm spending quality time by being in the room. You take what you can get, right, when you're gaming. I have to say the screen is beautiful. It's an LCD. I know there was a lot of complaints about dead pixels, and I know, Ivan, we had thought that we kind of found a dead pixel on mine. I don't know if it was a piece of lint or what. Very, very easy to get your big smudgy fingerprints and your thumbprints all over the nice 16:9 screen, but you just wipe it off. It's the sound is actually really good if you have the headphones. The two built-in speakers are, you know, wee little speakers. They're not going to crank the bass, they're not going to thump your chest, but if you're looking at it 6 to 12 inches away, it's more than loud enough. Still hear it without annoying the guy next to you. One other thing that I did see, though, is that Playboy has a thing that they're calling Playboy Station Portable, which is allowing you to download videos and pictures specifically formatted and exclusively available for the PSP. And kind of the joke on the forums and a lot of the people that I know, it's the Porn Station Portable. Just because you take your porn, you zip it up, you throw it on there, and you watch it in public. Now, I don't know why you would watch porn in public, but if that's your thing, I guess that's fine.
Hey, sometimes you just need to see a pair of boobs.
Excuse me, ma'am.
With an old lady, an 80-year-old lady behind you at the checkout at Finest, and you're...
You know, when I go to church with Grandma, nothing I like better than looking at some porn.
So I don't know who they're trying to get. I didn't download it. I have no intention of downloading it. I don't know what the target market is.
That's aiming for a college student market.
You can play AVI in DVD formats. I don't understand why they need Playboy to do anything, just to have all the standard porn that you can get.
And that is, it's a gimmick, because the screen is 16:9, so it's wider than it is tall. And I guess the images, I don't know, maybe they're landscape.
So they all have to be laying down, what?
Exactly, yeah, they're all laying down, I guess. I don't know.
If you're an old pervert, you're not going to be, you know, worrying about the PSP.
There's cheaper ways to be a pervert, right?
More private, at least. No,
lurk outside the high school, you know, go down and sit in the corner and...
Lurk outside the high school.
Yeah, yeah.
One other rumor that I heard was that the processing power for the PlayStation Portable, on purpose, they throttled it back to try and save battery life. That's kind of disheartening. It can do a lot more. But
it. I'm sure that'll be the first mod that'll come out. You can overclock your PSP.
Right.
All you need is a soldering gun in 10 minutes.
You turn it on.
Of course, it sucks your battery life down to 20 minutes, but, you know, it's all right.
You turn it on, you see the logo, it blink, and then the battery dies. That's it. Sorry.
You got to wait that standard 6 months kind of thing for the price to drop.
Hey, is this worth it? And I said, it's really cool. I would buy it again, but I wouldn't recommend to the general public that you spend $250 on the PSP plus, you know, a gigabyte memory card if you want to actually do any kind of serious movies. You might be able to get away with a 512 megabyte one, but, you know, I throw 3 or 4 episodes of Invader Zim, a bunch of MP3s on there, and it's about filled up. Now, I could probably dumb the quality back. The other thing I do enjoy is you throw comic books on there. There's a program called PSP Photo 1.0. You can just drag the directory onto that. It'll automatically scale them down. The native resolution of the PSP is 480 by 320 or something. It'll shrink it down, and then you can just read the comic book. It's actually kind of cool.
It sounds handy, but too much money.
Exactly. Wait for the price to drop. Get it in 6 months. When Christmas comes and they lower the prices, pick one up. So again, if you guys do have any questions, comments, or feedback, please send us an email at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, as well as check out the website. Anybody else have anything to say?
He wants a ham sandwich.
I was just about to say, a ham sandwich would be pretty damn good.
We're going to have to mention a ham sandwich every week for no apparent reason, then.
Oh, wow. I can't. You called that. Good job.
Yeah, I do what I can.
Thank you guys for helping out with the show here tonight, and we'll see you guys back next week.
Woohoo!